Blog Talk Radio.
Speak Life Radio. We are live another week. This is your host, Devon Good, and we are glad you tuned in with us tonight. Our topic tonight is in hell, church. Yes, that's the question we're asking tonight. Listen, we're not even going to prolong. We're going to go jump right into the show. I have some great guest that's here with us tonight. I think as far as my staff, I think we have my brother already with us tonight. Pastor Dove, what's going on with you, sir?
Hey, Devon, how you doing this evening?
Man, listen, I'm good. Nobody's listening, so no need for me to complain. So You know how that
it
is.
It won't matter anymore.
No, nobody cares. Nobody cares.
Nah.
So that was Pastor Jonathan Nelson, Nothing Without You. Wonderful song. I was getting ready to go in, fall out in the studio. But, you know, we have a show to do, so have to keep it moving. I don't know. Key is not on yet, but that's all right. We're going to go ahead and I'm excited about the show tonight, man. I'm definitely excited. Got a lot of feedback. Got a lot of great guests that's going to be with us tonight.
Cool.
So I think I'm going to go ahead and bring my all the way from I don't even know where she's been traveled all over the place now. So I can't even tell you where she's located. Columbus, Tennessee, California, Dover, Ohio. My good friend, who is she's not a stranger to this show. Bringing to the show right now, Pastor Phyllis Bush. What's going on? What's going on?
Hello. I haven't been that many places yet.
Okay. I just prophesied to you.
All right.
And guess what? That prophecy was free. I'm not even asking for it. So
the next one will be an offering. All
right. Right. I'll go a little deeper in deep waters, if, you know. So let me stop. We don't want nobody getting offended. Actually, we don't care. But I'm gonna be good tonight, Pastor Bush, Pastor Dove. I'm surrounded by all these pastors. I'm getting a little scared. Jesus.
Man, all right, there's nothing to be scared about, bruh. Hey,
that's
you
an inside joke.
Me.
Pastor Bush, I already know why I say I'm getting scared. You know all these pastors around. Bringing to the show another dear friend of mine who I have grown to love, Pastor Rhonda. What's going on with you this evening?
God bless you this evening, people of God.
God bless you. We got a power pack house tonight. And also, I'll bring to the show Pastor Armis. I want to make sure I'm pronouncing that right. Is it Armis?
It's Armor. I'm here.
Armor.
Armor.
Pastor Armor. All right.
Yes, sir.
All right. Okay, we got Pastor Armor. We have Pastor Bush, Pastor Doe, Pastor Rhonda. And am I missing somebody? I think that's we're gonna start right there. Waiting on Kia to call in, and we want to thank God for another week. Really, want to thank God for the show. Being back for a few weeks now, we've been missing in action, but you know what? God is great. He kept us, and we have. Want to give a quick shout out to my brother, one of our other hosts who probably won't make it on tonight. He is in the process of waiting on his new boy. So we want to give a shout-out to Pastor Norman and their new arrival that should be here. I talked to him about an hour ago. He said it should be here in about an hour. So we want to just send our prayers with he and his wife. I will ask for those who are on the line, please, if don't try to listen to the show while you're on the show, because there's feedback, and I'm getting feedback in my headset. So if we can take care of that. So we're going to go ahead and get started. So tonight's topic is simply, where in hell is the church in this hellish world, in this cruel, non-loving, non-caring, all-about-me world? Where is the church? Where is the church? Where is the pastors? Where are the members? Where are the saints? Where are the mothers of the church? Where are the planters, the pillars? Where are the witnesses? Where is the light? Where's the church? What happened to the church? Why is the church not in the forefront anymore? Why is the church not the first place that one would think to run to in the midst of trials and tribulations now? Why has the church become a place on the back burner? So That's what we're talking about tonight. So anybody want to go ahead and take a stab at it right now? Go ahead. Who wants to be first? Not everybody run that one. Well, we all got to.
Hey, Devon, growing up and seeing what a community church is, where the community actually trusts the church. Now, that trust is just not there because, it's sad to say that most pastors now approach church and approach pastoring like it's a business. And it's not about lives, it's not about relationships, but, it's about how many people will sit in those seats every Sunday, and people feel that. My daughter just had a conversation with a young lady who said she was fed up with church, and it was because of stuff like that, she won't go to church now because she is not because of a church hurt, it's just because of... It's the lack of the influence that the church has in the community and the fact that she don't feel the love that should be there.
Okay. Kia, you're on. So, basically, the church has gone from – and that's funny that you mentioned tonight that the trust is there. The lack of trust, excuse me. We definitely want to talk about that, the lack of trust, where it used to be – a point in time to where, again, as I said, the church was the place where we ran to seek answers and to seek direction and to seek counsel. But now, that's not so much what's going on. Anybody else? Pastor Rhonda, Pastor Bush, Pastor Armour. Anybody else want to go ahead and take a stab at it?
The other two pastors, I agree to what they're saying, and I would just like to say that the church has operated in such a way to where we have caused the people to not trust the church, yet at the same time, the world is seeing that we are so much conformed to the world to where they don't know the difference with us sometimes than with them, so when they're looking for somewhere to go, the church is supposed to be a place of refuge, and what's going on, they see a lot of what's going on in the church going out in the world. And it's like, where do I go? And most of them prefer to stay where they at. And so now you say, where the church is at, now we have to turn the tables because the people are not coming to the churches today like they were before. So we have to go out to them. We have to go out to them. Even if we have to be kingdom-minded, even if they don't come to your church and be a member, you have to still take God's word to them because he told us to. Mm-hmm. And, the word... You said, where's the church? The word of God always let us know that the laborers are few. So what we see now, before the word was written, the laborers were few, the laborers are few now. So,
I agree with that. But on the flip side of it, I will say the churches are not empty. And people are not leaving the church just because we are dealing with the people that don't want to work. See, and that is the myth that we need to correct tonight. You have a lot of preachers who are beating up on people, who are bullying, walking over people, disrespecting, using the scripture, touch not my anointed, do my prophet no harm. But yet, did you forget that that was a two-way street that does not give you a license to do, say, live however you want, but yet demand that? So we have a lot of stuff that's going on in the church where people aren't leaving and not coming to church just because they don't want to be there. What it is, a lot of people are tired of the BS and tired games, the politics and the tricks and the manipulation that is going on in the church. So,
amen. That's not to conform to the world. Those are all those things that you just named are being conformed to this world. So before we can go out in the community and help them, we got to start, with ourselves. We got to come together within the churches, Also, and what I'm saying is not referring to every person or every church. You said, where's the mother?
Right.
You still, the word of God says the laborers are few. There are still few laborers, but we don't have as many laborers as we need, especially in the time that we're in.
Go ahead. So, I'm sorry. Somebody was getting ready to say something.
No, I was just saying what we're saying is not referring to every church or every Christ believer, but it's there is a few selection that's still willing to have kingdom minded. It's not all of us, but it's a lot of us.
Right. I definitely agree, and I will never say that it is every church, every pastor, all members, but it's a lot, and we are dealing with a problem that needs to be handled. The church is no longer that place to go. So that's the question tonight. What happened to the church? How did the church, why did the church lose its place? Is it because we have members and pastors operating in capacities where they were never called? It was never God that told them to do it. Do we have people that are operating in these positions and based off of a financial gain, based off of popularity? Let's talk. Let's really dig in this thing. I really want to hear from the other pastors that's on the show tonight. Where did the church go? What is the issue? How can we fix it? Talk to me tonight.
Well, Devon, you hit. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I'm going to first give credit and quote who I need to quote because I didn't come up with this line. I'm still in it. But I started, thanks to Devon, watching this apostle on Periscope probably about 6 or 7 months ago, and I heard him say something the other day that answers that in kind of a whole a holistic way. All of the issues that you name are true, and it's not either or, it's all of them. But I think this answers the basis of them. And his quote was, don't debate, demonstrate. So where is the church? I think we are absent in some circles. I think we are silent in some areas that we should be speaking. I think we are MIA in some areas that we don't want to get on the front lines anymore because we have no demonstration of power. So the Bible says that if I be lifted up, if Christ be lifted up, he will draw all men unto him. So part of it is there is no demonstration of power and we're not lifting up Christ, and God has no responsibility to send people to the church where they will not be fed. He will not send people into a house where they will not be ministered to. So whether we go out into the streets or God sends them to us, I don't think it matters one way or the other, but he won't do it. And so without a demonstration of power and without lifting up Christ, the church is going to be void in areas because we don't have anything to deposit into people and we don't have anything that will really draw them. So when the church about 15 to 20 years ago got this social work mentality, we became kind of glorified social service agencies. And in that case, I don't have to go to the church to get what I can get from the Urban League, the NAACP, the United Way, the Salvation Army, because we're all doing the same thing. And then the church just became another option because we stopped lifting up Christ and he stopped drawing people in.
You know,
and until we demonstrate power, there's no obligation for that.
Pastor Bush?
Yes.
Okay, I was just making sure you can hear me because my okay. That is a good that I like that. I like that. Let me throw this question out there. What if the overwhelming how can I put this? So a lot of the churches are doing that. Everybody's trying to do. Is going on, especially in this season, the back to school, the giveaways, and even with that, you look on Facebook and you see people doing it, and I see more of look at what my church is doing, look at what we're doing, look at what we're giving away. more so than what happened to the Saints that used to have the giveaways that would pay bills, that would pay car notes, that would put food on the table and do all of this without having it advertised on social media. See, I see a lot of go ahead.
I have a question. I think you said it in what you just said. What happened to the Saints who do that without posting it on social media? Just because you don't see people posting it, it doesn't mean that they stop doing those things. I do agree with you.
It absolutely
disturbs me when I see people having to put, I was standing in Kroger's and the lady in front of me couldn't pay her bill, so the Lord told me to pay her bill. Well, I'm quite sure the Lord also didn't tell you to get on social media and tell everybody what you just did. It comes to a place where people want.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
It's come to a place where there is an overflowing level of arrogance in the body of Christ. And so it's no longer about exalting God. It's more so about, ooh, look at me, I did this. Ooh, look at me, I can do this. Ooh, look at me, I'm capable of whatever, you know, X, Y, Z is. It's no longer a place about the body of Christ exalting God. So the people who are, because I think sometimes it's so easy when you are active in the church and when you're involved and you're in leadership for you to separate the saints from the people who don't come often. But reality is we're all sinners. That's loud.
I'm hearing some extra feedback. Go ahead, Kia.
It's come to a place where the church tries so hard to separate from the world that we click up, we have names, we have different things. The church now is like the motorcycle social club scene. It's a church on every corner. They pop up whenever somebody comes home from prison, and now he's called to preach. So now he has a church, and people are going to follow whatever is new, whatever is popular, whatever is trending. People no longer have a commitment to a house of God like there was. My grandmother was at Mount Moriah until her dementia took over. I'm quite sure during her time there was things that upset her. There were people that offended her. There was probably even people who hurt her. But because we are so sensitive, so emotional, and because we want everything to go our way, the minute something doesn't go our way, oh, I'm not going there anymore. Oh, I don't want to be involved with that anymore. And so when the people in the world sees that, why do they have a reason to want to be committed to anything that those of us who say that we love the Lord, who say that we are called, are no longer committed to? What reason? That's just like, as a single person, it's a lot of married people who make me say, I might as well just keep living like I'm living, because y'all married and miserable. I'm single and happier than all of y'all. So it's no different than when you look at the fact. I mean, I'm just being real. It's a lot of married people. I'm thinking like, well, yep, I'm good. Y'all can have that fake happiness. I'd rather be single and for real happy. And that's the same way that people on the outside of the church see us. You have bitter church people, angry church people. You have hurt church people. So if I'm angry, bitter, and hurt, why don't I stay where I am, smoking my weed, rolling my blunt? I find more comfort in that. Because you've gone to this church, you were looking for healing. You were looking for the comfort. You were looking for support. You were looking for love. And you're more damaged than you were when you started there. So I'm going to stay over here with my bottle of Ciroc, my ounce of weed, and my boo for the night, however it goes. That's what they continue to find comfort in. Because guess what? You know that this bottle of Ciroc, you know that when you get drunk, eventually you may have a hangover. You know the results of that. However, when you go to the body of Christ, you don't think that when I go in here, I'm going to leave more wounded than I was when I first walked in the door. When you get high, you know you're going to probably eventually want something to eat. Your eyes going to get a little red, and you going the atmosphere is going to smell a little different. Don't laugh at me, Pastor Doug. I'm just being real. When you do the things in the world, when you do the things in the world, you know what to expect. You know, if I'm running with this clique, I might get set up this way, but you're willing to take that risk when you go to the body of Christ and you take a hit like that, it's more devastating. It's a an unexpected blow that hurts you unlike any other because you were looking for comfort, you were looking for love. So, I mean, that's the problem.
Real quick, let me say this. I am not against us putting stuff on social media. However, it's the spirit in which it's done. So let me say that because, I mean, I believe that there should be some stuff that we should post. But, again, there's a spirit in which we
and
do
I
it.
Get to,
let's take this.
But when you are doing more evangelizing on Facebook than you are doing on 3rd, Gettysburg, and Hoover, which are local urban hoods in the city of Dayton, I have an issue with that.
I definitely agree with you.
Out, so, I mean, I'm
I just didn't
Facebook
want it
posting.
To be. Yeah, no, I just didn't want it to be. See, I didn't want it to be like, you know, somebody thinking that I was against that. No, I think there should be a balance. Not everything should be posted. There are some times where you may have an event or something. But like you said, you know, if the Lord told you to pay for that woman's groceries in front of you, yeah, okay, we don't have to post all of that, you know, because you're going to get your blessing and, you know, from God in secret. You don't have to go posting and broadcasting. Real quick, let's take this phone call. Area code 614900. Go ahead.
How
you
doing?
Have a question?
This is David Bush.
Hey, my brother. What's going on?
Not much. I just wanted to comment on the topic real quick, and the last comments kind of speaks to it. We really, in the church, have a relationship issue. And so you can liken it to real relationships. We have a communication issue. We have an ego issue. We have a selfishness issue. And so right now, the community does not want to date the church. They don't want to engage in a relationship with the church because of what they've heard about the church. And as the way the church is right now, we've kind of stopped doing the things that engage people in a relationship with the church. We stopped being a place of respite. We stopped being a place of hope. We stopped communicating with the community. And like Pastor Bush said, we also lack power. People came to the church and engaged in the relationship because the church had power. And one of the main reasons we had that power or built up that power is because we had love. We loved our fellow brothers and sisters. And through that love, politicians, police officers saw that we were the person in the relationship to talk to. But now that we no longer have that power in the community, neither the community nor the leaders in the community want to talk to anybody in the church. And so we really have to get back to a point where we start building relationships. And I know I've heard recently in the last couple of months people say that that's almost taboo, that you shouldn't get so involved with people. But I don't feel that's the case. I feel that you really should get involved with people because their spiritual lives depend on it. And now, socially, even their physical lives depend on it. And so if you have the mother coming to church and to Sunday school and to Bible study, and she's bringing her kids, that means the kids are also exposed to spiritual matters. Rather than being out on the street corner with God knows who is also influencing. So I think if we engage more in the relationship building in the church, we will see some of that communication with the community come back to play.
Gotcha. I definitely agree with that. I'm sorry? Oh, I thought someone was trying to say something. I definitely agree with that. And that is definitely on point. Let's talk about that ego. Let's talk about that, the egos in the church. Let's put a pin there. Let's talk about let's talk about the church, because I don't want to make this just about pastors, because it's just as well as it's about pastors, it is about church members as well, you know, because the pastor has to do his part, but has to do theirs as well. So let's talk about the members. Let's talk about what happened to the saints of old. Now, you said something, Pastor David, you said something about power, the lack of power. See, the church of old, they had power. They had faith. All they knew was Jesus would make a way. They didn't have a lot of money, didn't have education, and all they knew was God was going to make a way because that's what they held on to. Well, as time went on, we went to school, we got a little money, we got a little education, and so now our education and our money has taken the place of the power. And so we have now education and money, but we're lacking power, as you said. You know, we don't pray. And if we come people, we would buy our way into heaven. We would buy the anointing. We would buy our closeness to God. We don't have that earning, that urge, that longing to spend time and to commune and to fellowship with God and to pray and to, you know, seek his face. And so I would say that is probably one of the main things that happened to the church. The church is not praying. The church is not fasting. The church is not loving. The church is not being open. What we're seeing today is a lot of churches, a lot of pastors trying to be the next big thing. It's not about souls, but it's about having a packed house. It's not about, you know, getting people delivered, but yet it's about how much money we bringing in. Can we get on this TV show? My church is doing this. My church is doing this. First of all, let's deal with that. It's not your church. And as soon as you understand that you don't own nobody, these members are not yours. These are members. These are people of the body of Christ that God instilled, that he entrusted you with the position to lead and to serve. So I think in church, what happened to the church is we have a lot of people pushing their personal agendas, and we're not pushing God's agenda. We're putting God's agenda on the back burner, or putting it on to the side, because we want to have the biggest church. We want to have, you know, everybody trying to get to TBN. Listen, let me tell you, been there, done that. TBN, I thought it was such a great thing before I went on TBN, but guess what? My name was still the same. My money still was the same. My address didn't change. I got a few engagements, but that does not make you. And so I'm looking, I want to know, how can we, somebody's background, how can we get back to the place to where the church has become that desirable place again? I know I just said a lot, but.
Yeah, you did. But the only thing, Devon, you know, I don't think unless we get pastors and we get people of God that care about the community and care about building relationships, I don't think we're going to get back to that point again. I don't think we're going to ever get back to that, because, you know, the biggest thing about what we do as pastors is relationship building. It should be. There was a young man who came to one of a Bible study this past week, and he didn't want to accept Christ, you know, while other people were around. He said, "Can I talk to you in private?" And he said, "I want to talk to you as my pastor." And and everything I said to him was, "I'm not your pastor, I'm your friend." And people are looking for people to do life with them, and pastors aren't willing to do life with people anymore. They've lost that connection. They lost that touch. They don't want to get close to people anymore. They don't want their dirt to rub off on them. You know, I'm a firm believer, you know, I get down dirty with everybody. You know, it doesn't matter. So unless people and pastors change, you know, it's not going to change. It's not going to get better.
So, And Pastor Dove, let me tell you, for those who don't know Pastor Dove, he is actually getting ready to do his launch. And give me the date again, September or August. Give me the date. September 18th. City Reach, and give me the where you at?
College Park, Georgia.
College Park. Listen, if you guys are in Atlanta or going to be in that way, I would definitely encourage you to go. This guy is doing a great work, a wonderful work, kingdom minded, and I just love what you're doing. And so that's what we need. We need more pastors. We need more church members that have the mindset. Because there's a lot of people preaching kingdom. There's a lot of people preaching the body of Christ and preaching, you know, all of this, you know, this come together and all of this. But when it comes down to it, behind closed doors, do you have integrity? How are you getting on your nerves? How are you treating that one that doesn't necessarily have it like you think they should? Aren't cut from the same cloth? You know, are we really loving everybody? Are we really treating everybody with the same love and respect that we should? You know, there's a lot of favoritism going on. There's a lot of underhanded, behind the door closed meetings and all of these different things. That's not God. Yes. And that's the thing, I believe it was Pia that said, so if we continue to mirror the world, how can we get the lost people to come in? If we look, sound, and act like the world, where's the difference? He said, come out from among them and be ye separate. And there right now is not a separation. You can tell the saints from the sinners. Oh, we are dressing like them. Some of them dressing more holier than some of the church folks. So let's take this call. This is a very special young lady, Miss Tania. It's a shock because she never actually calls in to say anything. But we are welcoming her tonight. This is my wife. What's going on? Speak now or forever. Hold your peace. I don't know. She's having some technical difficulties. Tania? Okay, her phone dropped. She'll call back. So let's deal with y'all look quiet tonight. We got how many passes on the line tonight? I need y'all to talk to me tonight. Y'all quiet. Come on. Now. So we're talking about where is the church? That's we need to know. Speak aloud. Speak out. Cry out. Okay, hold on. Here she is again. Let's see. Go ahead, Tania.
Hello. Hi, everyone.
Hello.
Can you hear me now? Okay.
Yeah, we can hear you.
We can hear you now.
Hello. So the question was posed, and I do call in. You ignore my call. I'm joking. The question was posed: what has happened to the? You said earlier, what happened to the mothers and the, you know, older people of the church? And I ask that question all the time, but then I pose the question: what has happened to us? As this generation, we must not really want to see the hand of God move, because we don't take the time and we don't do those things like those people. And I'm not saying it's all of us, but the majority of us, when it's time to go on a fast, we don't fast. We can't do that. I can't commit to that. You know, we must not want to see true power because we don't take the time to really sacrifice and to really do the things that we need to be doing in the church. Why can't we be the example? Because we have to show some of these pastors, I believe. We have to be the example to show some of these pastors this is how it should be done outside of these four walls. You know what I mean? And I think also, too, with pastors, you know, I'm not just going to put it just on pastors. I believe that they need to see the fruit of their members doing something. And I believe that when it's done in decency and in order to correct, it's okay to correct or to bring to the pastor's attention. You know, I heard you also say that they think that they have the, you know, the upper hand because they're the pastor and they can do and say what they want and all of that. But I definitely disagree, because I still, you know, we should be able, and correct me if I'm wrong, but we should be able as the members to say, hey, pastor, you know, look, this is wrong. This is not right. This is what I feel about this. Maybe you should do it this way. Maybe you should try it this way. And if I'm wrong, you know, the pastors that are online, please, you know, correct me. But I think that's, you know, that's a problem, too, that we as this generation are not stepping up to becoming those old mothers of the church. And those old, you know, we're not sacrificing. We're not doing really what we need to be doing in order to see the real true power of God as they did in the church of old.
Well, I think what happened is we've become a microwave instant ad for church. We want the results of what we read and what we've heard about in the Bible and of our mothers of Zion and our mothers and parents and that generation. But we don't want to go through what they had to go through to get it. We want it right now. And so, you know, we want to accept the calling and have five armor bearers next day. You know, we want to start preaching on the big platform, but we can't go to the prison. We can't go stand down at the courthouse and pass out tracts. We can't. You know what? Let's even go a step further than that. We are called to the ministry, but we can't even clean the restroom. We can't pick up a piece of trash. We can't.
So
you know,
when are we going to
that's
start?
We are way behind. We are way behind. So that definitely is a good point. What happened to the church? Where's the church? Come on, people, talk to us tonight. If you want to call in, please give the call at 619-924-9859. Press the number 1 and we'll get you on. That we're talking tonight, where in hell is the church? What happened to the church? Why is the church dying? And in some cases, why is the church dead? Let's take this call right here. 937-321. Go ahead. Go ahead. All right. We will come.
I'm just listening.
Okay. You pressed the number 1, so that was an indicator to bring you on. But since you're on, go ahead and just give your thoughts.
Well.
Oh, she's going to be shy. Okay, go ahead.
No, I'm just going to listen. I'll say something later.
Okay, all right. Just press that 1 again, and we'll bring you on. Okay, let's take this other caller here. 937-681.
Yeah.
Hold on, though. But listen, I don't know if you're listening. Take your phone off of speaker or move away. There's bad feedback.
Okay, yeah. Yes, I as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, you know, one of the things that I have seen in the church, having grown up in the church, but the church wasn't in me until I came to the point where I truly, and I heard somebody say this about relationship. And I know that in many cases, a lot of things have been touched on tonight. Primarily, you talk about ego and leadership. You talk about, you know, a lot of pastors and being in positions and not wanting to push people forward in the church who have gifts and who have callings, because it might diminish from their calling. But all of that really is secondary. And I think one of the men, one of the pastors spoke to this. The Bible says clearly in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, it says, "If my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will they hear from heaven, and I will heal them, and I will forgive their sins and heal their land." So I believe that part of the problem that we're having, well, one of the biggest things that we're having is that Pastor Rhonda spoke to this as well, is that there is not a real separation line between the church in the world in the sense of behavior and activity. A lot of the same things you will see people, and I'm all for grace, and I believe in the grace of God. But Paul says, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. So I think that the ineffectiveness of the church, the ecclesia, the called out ones, the ones that are truly called out, is the fact that we are not living sanctified, called out holy lives. We're not walking upright to where the Holy Spirit of the living God, Jesus, is being seen, because that's what's going to draw men. He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men. So we just need to become vessels. But there's so many, it's convoluted, and there's not one simple answer to the question, but the sister made reference to this as well when she talked about fasting and prayer. We live in a world that is dominated by spiritual and demonic forces, and we are running into it on a daily basis. And when you see demons in positions of leadership, because because our wrestle is not against flesh and blood, they're the ones who are running the show, because they're speaking to those that are in those positions. And so those people don't even really realize that these homosexual spirits and these things, and I'm not dogging or talking about an individual, I'm talking about a spirit that is in operation in this world. Because we are definitely in the last days. And Paul told Timothy, when you look in the Word of God, he said what we was going to encounter when we got in these days. So we are not to be surprised by what we see. However, it should not affect us as believers, because we are the called out ones, which means that death and hell have no power over us. Those things, we have been called out of darkness into his marvelous light, according to the Word of God. We have the power to speak to whatever mountain it is and say, be moved. But we are not operating, even if I look at it even now, in the church, we're not operating in our God-given authority in so many areas. And so no wonder.
Right.
No wonder the world is in the mess that it is. God allows what we allow.
So
we're
the question
church,
that
all authority has been given to us to in heaven and earth. So
yeah, and
the
word of
God is clear.
Right, right.
I'm sorry, Pastor. Go ahead.
No, I'm not a pastor. No, you're good. No,
You will be. Not right now, anyway.
See, somebody about to get hung up on.
We're prophesying to you. You prophesied to the sister, to the other pastor earlier. We're prophesying to you now.
Listen, y'all can have that new. My brother, I didn't get your name. What's your name?
I'm Kenneth, Minister Kenneth Bailey. That's my name.
Okay.
Conflict, that don't even matter. I'm just a vessel. So that's
oh,
not.
Oh, no.
You know
I know.
What I mean? But
yeah, no,
I got
what
you're saying, but
like,
yeah.
Just like to know who we're talking. No, I definitely agree. And we have now been on the show for a minute, and so we have talked about what's not going on, what is going on. But the question is, why? How did we get here? What really happened, and what are the steps for us to get back? I'll tell you one, and then I'm going to release it and let somebody else. I really want to hear from Pastor Armour. But let me say this. What do you think, or how crazy would it be if, let's just say, y'all go on a journey with me, tomorrow is Friday, and the body of Christ as a whole, let's just say everybody was on one accord, and all day Friday, all day Saturday, we took the time to turn over our plates, turn the TV off, stop texting, stop Facebooking, Twitter, all of that, and we prayed, and really prayed, and sincerely prayed, and ask God, Lord, what am I supposed to be doing? And not just asking, what am I supposed to be doing? Asked him, am I in my rightful place? Actually asked him with a sincere heart and believing that on Sunday morning when we wake up, he'll give us an answer. Let's just say that happened. He answered. I believe that there will be a lot of churches that will have to shut down. There will be positions that would have to be switched around, because we have a lot of people that's operating in capacity of things that were never called by from God. Now, I get it.
Amen.
Some of the cases, the churches, you know, starting out small, you have to wear multiple hats. But as the church grows, you need to go ahead and give up that position if that's not really where you were called, but you were just occupying it right then and there. But somebody, God has brought somebody to the church that is qualified and that is called to do it. But because you don't want to, one, give up your control, I've been doing this, I was here, da-da-da-da-da. Well, but you know what? This season, this moment, this is not what God is calling you. You're not equipped for it. So let's just think, what if we actually ask God and listen to what he said for us to do and where we should be? Just imagine how much of an impact the body of Christ would have. I think that that's the first step. Yeah. We need to go back and ask God, am I doing, am I in the place? Should I be pastoring? Should I be singing? Should I be ushering? Should I be cooking? Should I be driving a van? What should I be doing?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
That piece right there is, I believe, our first step on us getting back on track.
You just said a mouthful.
Man, I'm here, Doc. I've been listening and hibernating. Everything has been good, man. Everything. And I don't know why Reverend Bush is not talking more. She's a brilliant spiritual mind. She's just laying in the cut as well. And she invited me to this after party, Doc. She ain't saying too much herself. But everything has been great, Doc. I appreciate being on. And the reason why I congratulate everything that's being said, because it's not one answer. There's so many different facets that we can come at this thing. So I'll just add, there's no but a conjunction. There's just an addition to the great things that have been said so far. I do believe that what you said, Devon, is going to be exactly a question that God will probably come back and shut down a lot of churches, but I think that he will also simultaneously set some churches in order. I think a lot of people are doing things, especially let's look at this pastors, and it may not be out of this greed of wanting to be on the top, but it's more of cultural relativism. They're coming up in a population of church to where they see the glory before they know the story. And they want the glory, and they don't want the sacrifice. But they're coming up in that society where it's microwave, it's fast, it's internet, uh-huh. it's Snapchat, uh-huh. it's real quick, and they don't go through the suffering, and they're lacking the knowledge. And this is what I think that we need to get back, not preachers, but I'm talking about pastors, because the Bible says in the book of Jeremiah 3:15 that I will give you pastors after my own heart, not preachers, but I'll give you pastors after my own heart. And he said that after he told Jeremiah that the people were scattered like people are today, and I'm going to bring them back. And which I think that God is going to do, but he's going to give them pastors after his own heart. And so these will be the ones that really have to get back to the true gospel, that in order to reign with Christ, you have to suffer with Christ. And cats don't want to suffer no more. But we're in yes. that generation where kids don't want to do chores anymore. I told my daughter to wash the dishes. She asked me, what did I do wrong? You ain't do nothing wrong. Just wash the dishes. I mean, because they think it's a punishment to do chores. We do a Bible study, Vaughn, and it's called Out of the Box Bible Study, because we really tackle issues that churches may not talk about as much. And we really do things like tell people that you cannot love somebody from a distance. I don't know what that is. I haven't found that scripture. Somebody on the line finds that, let me know. But I don't know about loving somebody from a distance. You can't. It's not okay to sit in church and not talk to the person on your pew and think it's okay. You got to love those who hate you and do good to those who don't do good to you and pray for folks who talking about you. So Jesus,
my Lord,
wants us, and this is going back to that knowledge that we have to get to, because that's what I think we've lost, and that's why the church is going south, because we lost that tangible matrix type of teaching. It is Travis Green who says that God is intentional, and we
yes.
have to be more intentional. And I think that, and I'm talking long because I don't know how much I got. I should have said something earlier, but I'm gonna throw the mic down in a minute. But I think that we've lost that intentionalness, if you allow me. And that's why our church is going a little bit sour. I'm okay with the internet posts, the Facebook posts. I heard you, Pastor Devon. You said you okay with it. Yeah, sometimes the spirit can be questioned, but man, post it. Let me see somebody who giving somebody something in the grocery store. I'm good because maybe that's gonna spark somebody else to pay it forward, and they'll do it again. Paul said, I don't care how you preach it. Selfish gain, you can preach it for some kicks or laugh, but just long as the gospel is being preached. And if Jesus is being preached, somebody's going to catch that word somewhere. I'm coming down now, but I remember I'm in Wilmington pastoring now, but I spent 13 years in Cincinnati. Phyllis can tell you all about the Methodist Church, her and Reverend Brother Bush, and Reverend Bush can tell you we move around a lot. But in Cincinnati, Bishop Dwight Wilkins said to me, he said, Jermaine, one of the issues with the church is that we don't know how to change the package without changing the product. And I think that we're suffering with that. The church has to understand that the world is changing. And the church then also has to adjust a little bit. And so we have to learn how to change the package without changing the product. The product is always Jesus and him crucified. But how do we change that to attract that young man or that young person? On the aspect of the church and pastors and preachers are losing respect in the community, we still have a facet of people who think that they're not worthy to come to church. You know, they got to get themselves together to come to church. So how do we minister to that crowd to let them know to come as you are? Gang banging, pistol in your pocket, joint, three or four babies, it don't matter. Just got up out of your bed to sin on Saturday or Sunday morning. You need to come to church because his blood is for you as well. So there's a lot of people where the church is misplaced because they're misplaced. And so we have to kind of get that gospel back out there that Jesus is crucified for anybody. He died for all. When I mean intentional, I think that's one of the things that I focus on. Where are we? Well, we're not intentional. I know a whole bunch of churches that's doing a whole bunch of good things, but it's not enough of us out there doing it. The harvest is plentiful, and the sister mentioned it, but the laborers are few. So people are doing some great things. The church is there, but it's not enough of us. I'll say this, and I'll drop the mic. I promise. I'm on vacation right now, and we're in Elyria, Ohio. We started in Cincinnati. We went to Columbus, Phyllis. We were there and took the children for a tour of the Ohio State. And as we were going to our car, two guys came up to us, and I looked on their tag, and it said they were elders in the church of the Mormons of Latter-day Saints. And we began to talk about the Bible. And so I'm hitting them with some stuff, and they hit me with some stuff, a great conversation. And let them know that I was a pastor, and we begin to talk about Jesus Christ. I have the Book of Mormon, read it all the time, and we were talking about different scriptures. And the one thing I commended them on, and this goes back to my intention on Travis Green, they're out there being intentional, talking about what they believe in. Muslims are being pies and final calls. Jehovah's Witnesses knocking at your door at that watchtower. But where is your Protestant Christian? One sister mentioned it earlier. Are we out there on the hood and being intentional with talking about what we believe in and spreading the – and I think that that's our learning curve to get the church back where it needs to be. We have to be more intentional. Jesus will probably have on some Tims and a G-Unit shirt and Rockaway jeans out in the hood ministering more than he would have on a robe and a cleric. So we have to consider that as well. I'm done, man. But listen, I appreciate it. I'll wait to hear from other people. But great conversation.
Oh, no, you're good, man. I definitely agree. And it's funny you said that. I actually was at work the other day last week, and I was also approached by some elders of the Mormon Church. And I do agree. what we're doing is what we should be doing. We should definitely be out there passing out tracts. We should definitely be out there, you know, telling people about why they should come to our church. But here's the thing. This is for the church and for the pastors. When you get the people to come, I don't think it's a problem. Well, it is a problem for us to get the people to the church, but it's also a problem that when they come, they ought to feel the love of God. They ought to feel the open arms. And then when they get there,
I agree.
Yeah. When they get there, see, that's the other problem. See, we are dealing with with people who are throwing away people. No one should be thrown away. I don't care what they are, who they are. Now, here's the thing. Not everybody is ready. Not everybody is at that point. So some people you got to walk slow with. Some people you got to deal with differently. Some people, you know, because everybody are at their own pace and at their own level. However, the love, we have to show love. We have to, and I have to be honest, I don't want to go back to another service where I'm hearing so much of, you know, listen, everybody got haters. Everybody got enemies. I'm so sick and tired of hearing about your haters. He said, I'm preparing a table in the eyes of, and I may have just added a word, in front of your enemies. So he already spoke that. He told you he was going to be enemies. I don't want to sit through another message where your message is talking about enemies, talking about people talking about you, people lying on you, people just scandalizing your name. I'm so sick and tired. Listen, sit down and get in the word and teach the word. We know that there are enemies. We know that there are haters. Haters gonna hate. That's what the world is. That's what the devil's job is. And people are dying. People are suffering. And we're worried about trying to pad our pockets. We're worried about tipping through the tulips because we don't want to offend this group because of what they're paying, and we don't want to offend this group because they may leave. It needs to come down to a point to where I'm preaching God, I'm preaching Jesus, I'm teaching love, and stop infusing our own agenda. Stop infusing, you know, if you got a problem with your brother and sister, go to your brother and sister. Stop using the pulpit. Stop using the microphone, whether you're singing, whether you're preaching, to tell people off. Grow some and be man enough or woman enough to go to your brother and sister and say, you know what, I got an issue with you. I shouldn't have to sit through a service where you're sitting here and I'm hearing an issue that I know that we have or that you have or this. You know, it's time out for that. People are not waking up. People are leaving the church, blowing their heads off. And you and we got drama, and we got all type of stuff that's not even edifying the body of Christ. So where is the church?
Can I take a position?
Go ahead.
Take a position outside of the pulpit. So, you know, full disclosure, I've been pastoring for 6 years, which means I was in the pew for much longer than that. So before the person walks in the door, before they get the message, before they hear what the pastor does or does not have to say, they met your mentors. They work with them. They go to school with them. So if we're going to talk about why the church is ineffective in the world that's full of hell, it's because we have members out there that people don't know are members. People don't know that you know Jesus. People don't know that you go to church. And if you invite them to church, they may be skeptical because they heard everything you said about your pastor, everything you said about the people in the pews with you. And so if there's this hesitation that if you're not happy in your church, why would I be happy in your church?
Right. Right,
you may
right.
be going there because it's your grandmama's church. My grandmama never went there, so I don't have that connection. So what about the membership? What about our personal responsibility do we have to live a life that makes the person that sees? Because there's one pastor. There's 5, 10, 20, 100, 400 members. What about the 300 of you will make somebody look at you individually and say, I want what you have? Where do you learn how to do what you do? How do you get through what you're getting through? Everybody on the job is fussing and cussing, but you seem calm. Everybody in school is nervous. You seem like you have it together. What about the life
of the believer says, as a witness to somebody, I want what you have, and that person can then say, come to church with me. Now, before you get to the message, the choir is singing. Let's back up. The usher greeted you, or maybe they didn't. The choir is singing, or maybe they're mad at each other. The person you sitting beside on the pew may speak, may not. So before one word is even preached, we have to get by all of that. That's all sheep. That's all believers.
Yeah.
That's all congregation. Yeah. And so when we say, where is the church out in that world, we are out there. You know, but the sister said it earlier, are we blending so that nobody can tell us apart and nobody knows that that is the believer that I have to go to? There is something in you. If we're light and we're salt, there is something in us that will bring a person to us to have that conversation, to pick you out of a crowd and say, will you pray for me? How do you know I pray? You look like you can pray, or you look like you have some peace. And so all of these things can happen and influence people before they walk through a church door, before they might not even know your pastor's name.
I definitely agree. Being a Christian has become such a cliche. Tania, she posted something the other day. She said, if God allows all of us with all this sin into heaven, he has to turn around and apologize to Satan and allow him in.
That's right. Yeah.
We have a lot of I love Jesus t-shirts, what would Jesus do, headbands, t-shirts, gym shoes, all of that. We got the Bible sitting on our desk, got church music playing, all of that. But our life is still not reflecting all of these things who we say we are or who we have attached to us. It should be more of the light being seen than your t-shirt, more of the light being seen than your church music, more of the light being seen than your I Love Jesus pin. So I definitely agree that, yes, it's a two-way street here. We're dealing with pastors and we are dealing with the members and the Christians, because I've heard this a lot where, he's supposed to be a preacher. He's supposed to be a pastor. Well, you're supposed to be a Christian. So, okay, I get it as a greater responsibility, but what about you? You know, here's the thing, that there's been a lot of preachers and a lot of pastors who had a lot of indiscretions, and I've heard people in the same situation put their mouths on the preacher or the pastor, and it's like, how do you even fix your mouth to say, well, you know, he's sleeping with somebody else's wife or husband, da 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 da. Well, you're doing the same thing, but I ain't no pastor, I ain't no preacher, but you are a Christian. So there is a responsibility as Christians, as believers, and I agree with what Pastor Bush was saying. So, yes, most definitely, you know, we are the first members or the first agents of the church that people will see. So that is also, I believe, one of the biggest problems. I agree with what she was saying, that people aren't coming to church because, hey, well, look how you're living. I believe that Pastor Armour, you was going to say something?
I was just really, really glad that what Reverend Bush said. She has a way of putting a remix on things, dropping an old Cadillac and putting spinners on it, and give you a whole new perspective on how we look at this thing. But statistically, people decide whether they're going to join your church from the parking lot to the front door. So the interactions that they make with the Christians, the officers, the ushers, the greeters, and the sermon being the last thing that they hear, there still is that population, and I think we have to give it a little bit of credence, because there is a large percentage of people who are turned off from church because not because of the pastors and because we are a few pastors on here, I'm not trying to take up for us because of our position, but we're kind of outnumbered.
Right.
You know, there's one pastor, but there's many, many members. And you do hear that I'm not going to that church because of that pastor. He's a hypocrite or he's doing the same thing. But you also hear people not wanting to come to church because of other members. And it's sad when they meet one member and they demonize the entire church as being stuck
yes.
up or don't want to speak or be mean. And they are the church as well. We all are the church. I heard something a couple of years ago. Someone said that God is a good guy. He just has bad representatives. And they were speaking of Christians who don't represent him very well when we're called to be ambassadors of Christ. It's so many ways. I think the answer is it comes in so many ways of where we are. But I think, Devon, you gave us a good blueprint to start. I think because of cultural relativism and because people think that they are called and they think that they are doing the right thing, I don't know how many will admit the words of Fred Hammond, the hardest thing I had to do was to admit the truth. The reason why I was missing was all because of me. I don't know how many people will Michael Jackson that thing and look in the mirror and say, because they think they're doing the right thing. You can't tell them they ain't prophesied. You can't tell them they ain't laying on hands. You can't tell them that they ain't called. They think that they are. But in my opinion, maybe, I don't know. You may need to check and see if you are. If we would, and I remember something that Reverend Bush said a while back, and she would know what I'm talking about. There was a book that came out about detox, and it was a whole book talking about spiritual detox. And it took you through all these different levels and steps to spiritual detox yourself. And Reverend Bush looked at me and she said, you know, well, I spiritual detox myself every day. Like every morning that I get up, you know, I have to look in the mirror and do this self-check of who am I? Am I doing the right thing? Lord, am I in your will? But I think that is far few in between how many pastors will be that honest to make sure that even if you think, I think I'm a good pastor and I think I'm called, just still saying, Lord, you know, am I doing the right thing? Am I in your will? That would be the first step, man. That's a good first step you gave us.
Yeah, yeah. I believe that, I don't know if somebody said that tonight, but seek ye first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. You know, so those are tools that I believe that we're trying to get to the nations, get to our destiny without seeking God. And the problem is, it's like taking a trip to a place you've never been without taking your phone or a GPS or even a map. We're just driving. We don't know where we're going. And so what could have been a 3-hour trip has turned into a 8-hour trip because we did not take the time to seek and to get direction. We thought we were grown and big and bad enough to make it on our own. So that's one that's a piece that I think we have to go back and do a checkup. Okay, what did I do wrong? What am I doing wrong? Where am I at? You know? So I believe that it's platforms like this that has to take – we have to have more of these. We have to have more men conferences, women conferences where we sit down and it's not about the money. It's not about the hoop, but it's about let's have panels. Let's have classes. And here's the other question I want to throw to the churches and the pastors and the people that are representing here tonight. Okay, so I'm coming to your church. I've gotten past the members and I've gotten past this and I've gotten past this. Now that I'm here, what do we have to offer? After the shout, after the speaking of tongues, after the dancing and laying on hands, what do we have to offer? What do you as a pastor have to offer? What do you as a member have to offer? Why? Well, there's a million churches on the block in the city. Why should I? Why? Why your church? What is it about your church? What am I getting? What am I gaining? So what are we offering?
I think the first thing that we should offer is the only thing that the church can offer, and that's Christ. Because if we start with anything else, then we just make ourselves another commodity. And then we get into, if I'm offering you something other than Christ, it's probably something you can get somewhere else. So one of the last Bible studies I did was from a book called The Dangerous Act of Worship. And it talks about us looking at the church from a consumerism point of view. What are we selling and what did you come here to get? Well, if you come into the church and you get past the members and you get past the message and you're okay with that, then the other thing quite naturally that people look for is what's in it for me? Is it comfortable enough for me? Do the members kind of suit me? Is it my style of church or my style of worship? And if you can get past all of that, which is part consumerism, we like what we like, then you're going to be looking at what you can pull out of it. Well, the first thing I'm going to say to you, pastor to member, is this is the relationship that you need to have with the Lord, because regardless of whether you stay in this church or not, you've got to know that this is what the church is for. This is what you're going to get here that you can't get anywhere else. So it's not, first of all, what separates my church from another church. It's what separates the church from every other thing in the world. So if you get that, then you'll look to be in church for the right reasons, and maybe we can get some of these people from falling out of the church because the church didn't meet this need. The church didn't pay my bill this month. The church didn't do this. This woman offended me. This person didn't speak to me. So what the sister said earlier about falling out of church, not committed, I'm committed, first of all, because Jesus is the reason I came, because the gospel is the reason that I stayed, and the rest of it is extra, and sometimes it meets my needs, and sometimes it doesn't. So first, I think we have to let people know that this is the church. This is not Walmart. It's not a super center. It's not a body store. You might be able to find this stuff somewhere else, but you're going to find Christ only in the church, and the rest of it really is consumerism. It's the kind of music you like or don't like out of the choir. Are they robed? Is it a praise team? Is it, you know, do I need all these instruments and all of these other trappings that we think keep people? And they don't.
Mm-hmm.
They attract people, but they don't keep people.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can
get past all
of that and you can stay, I first need to let you know that this is the church. It's not any other agency in the world. And we will not meet all of your needs. The church was never meant to meet all of your needs. Some of your needs need to be met at home. Some of them need to be met on your job. Some of them your husband need to meet. Some of them your kids need to meet. This is the church, and there's something specific that we can meet. We can touch those parts of your life, and we can speak to those parts of your life, but if we get back into the relationship thing, if you think you're going to get everything all the time the way you want it from this, you are going to be more disappointed than not.
Right.
So I think we bring people in with some false expectation that, you know, everything is going to be great, everything's going to be rosy. It's something that you'll see in the next day or two that David and I have been talking about. People really need the truth. Some of the reasons why I've seen people walk away from the church is, honestly, we lied. Somebody lied to you when they told you that everything was going to be great because you got baptized. Somebody lied to you when they said when you left that relationship and came into the church, God was going to bless you. He first blessed you when he forgave you, and then he blessed you because he gave you eternal life. But you're going to struggle, and your stuff might get cut off. And your child might get in trouble again. So we don't have to sugarcoat this. We don't have to lie to people. We don't have to tell them the struggle is over. We don't have to put up this false hope to bring them in and hope they stay with us.
Right.
One of the issues that I have, and this is not a denominational thing, this is a kingdom thing, we get so protective of people as if they're ours. Like you said, the church doesn't belong to you. The people don't belong to you. Those are God's people.
And so they don't belong to you. So I don't have to woo you and lie to you and comfort you and all of those things to keep you here with me. I just have to keep you close to the word. So if I'm
here, you'll
be here because the word is here. If I'm gone, you'll be here because the word is here. If you have to move on somewhere else because another house suits you, that's all right. You'll be looking for a house with that word.
Right.
The in and out of church, the falling in and out, the falling back and forth, the church hopping, all of that is because they're looking to get these consumer needs met. And if they can check off, great, they got a parking lot ministry, they got a praise team, I like the preaching style, I like the length of the service, and we check off all of these boxes, great, that's my church. If any one of those things changes, you're ready to go. But if you have
real
the
good,
word, if you knew what you were in church for in the first place, some of that stuff can change. Some of that stuff
that's
can be shifted,
good.
And it doesn't shift your foundation.
I like that. Let's go to this caller real quick. 937-321. Go ahead.
Hello.
Yes.
Hello.
Yeah,
yes,
go ahead.
I just wanted to say, as far as getting new members in the church, especially like people in the neighborhoods and stuff, people from the church need to be more relatable. Like,
go ahead. Yeah.
Everybody has a background story and everything, and a lot of time people only hear that during the sermon. But like, when you meet a person, like, if I want to get people to come to my church, I go to the park where they playing ball at and stuff, and I might try to get in the game. But as far as being relatable, I could talk about this neighborhood back when they weren't there and how it was, and I remember this, and just to where they understand that you like them. And, you know, I mean, when people can relate to you, they'll pay you more attention. It's easier to understand and listen to what they have to tell you because you there are commonalities.
So you're saying that in church we need more people that can not be so heavenly minded to where we forgot when we were out there and when we were not in place. So if we would share, if we would show some a little bit of transparency and show ourselves, we could draw more people like that.
I mean. Yes, and also, like instead of being like, you shouldn't smoke. Like, I used to smoke. I gave it up. It ain't even good for you, for real. Instead of being like, that's not the right thing to do. Like, whenever you're talking to somebody that's relatively a stranger and you tell them what they need to do, even if you're saying things with the best intentions, and they might even know what you're saying is true, but the simple fact that a stranger is telling them what they need to do, people usually tend to take that negatively. Like, you know, like either you're over me or, you know, like, I mean, it's kind of hard for me to explain without.
No, I get what you're saying. Well, and that's the kind of church that I grew up in, where before we got the person, before we got the fish, we were trying to clean it. So we had a list of rules that you had to go through, an orientation and jump through hoops and flip and stand on your head and roll over five times before you could become a member. But instead, let's scratch all these rules. Let's embrace you. Let's try to hear where you hurt. Let's try to meet you at the point of where you are, and once we meet that need, then you'll be more receptive to being able to hear what it is that we have to say.
Right, and like you said, rules are deal breakers for a lot of people, especially if they're excessive or something, because in the church, the mission is to get to save souls. So you don't want to push nobody away before you could even get them by saying, look, I want you to come to my church, but you can't do this, you can't do this, you can't look like this, you can't wear this. I mean, you know.
That's what I need to have. That's what I need to teach, a relationship with God instead of teaching religion.
Right. Religion is the breaker of all people, because you got people that sit there and twist the Bible to fit their meaning. And then you got people out here that say everything that they taught you is a lie. You got people that's confused and, you know, they want to believe, but they're not sure. I mean, you got to show them, you got to at least speak to where they're interested, even just a little bit. Speak of some of the sweetness. And then you also got to remind people that, like, this is church. It's everyday life, but it's church. The things that go on in your everyday life go on in this church. Whatever you're trying to look for, that's what you're going to see. That's what's going to stick out first. If you go in here with an open mind, trying to build a relationship, you're going to see people that's doing that, and those are people that you'll cling to. But if you're worried about hypocrites and everything else and homosexuals or whatever your beef might be or reason you doubt, and if you go in there with that in mind, that's what you're going to see first. That's what's going to pop out, because you already got a preconceived conception of what's going on. You explain to people, like, hey, look, whatever you see out there, this is what you see in here. But you got to come. You got to come with the right thing in mind, and you'll get the right thing out of it.
Right, right. That's real good. I definitely agree. And that is so true. We have missed the opportunity to reach a lot of people that we have. We missed the opportunity to reach the potential of people that God allowed to cross our paths because of some of our religious hangups and some of our traditional hangups. And when honestly, we have made this thing so confusing, so just a big obstacle, when the truth of the matter is all we have to do is show love and be normal, you know? And that's the thing. We ain't got to all be praise the Lord, God bless you, you know, and that has its proper place. Just say hi, you know. People want to see the real you. They don't want all that fluff, you know. And especially when they're dealing with real life issues, we don't have time for that. You know, I need to know that there are some real people out here. There's some people that really love the Lord, and they are showing and spreading the love of Christ. I don't have time. I don't care, you know, how many cars you got in, how many members you got coming in. I want to know, can you get a prayer through to God, and can you teach me? Can you lead me? Can you give me? Can you give me Christ? And you know, I need to, my needs to be met in that area. So I think that the church has to go back and and go back to our first love and do it all over again. Because I believe that what is the church as it stands now, it's not attractive. You know, it really isn't. And because I know better is why I don't. But I do understand why people don't go to church. I do understand why people stay home. And again, I'm not condoning it. I'm not saying that it is right or that anyone should. But I do understand. I do see. You know, so I definitely want to just encourage my brothers and sisters, my pastors that are out there that are grinding, that you know, this thing, it's not about them. It's not about a money thing, but it's about, you know, saving souls. I take my hat off to you. My church members who are definitely at church, at work, and in the community that's spreading the gospel, that's living a life of Christ, and your light is doing is shining more than what's coming out your mouth. I commend you. But for those who are not, you know, and for those who of us that have to come up, time is running out. We got to come up. Let's change our thoughts, our mentality. Let's change the way we're doing things, and let's ask the question: is God being pleased with what I'm doing? You know, that conversation, that gossiping, whatever it is God being pleased? And if the answer is no, we need to change it, because we can be standing in the way of someone getting to Christ. So I want to say thank you guys for tuning in tonight. This was a wonderful show, and I would like for you guys to definitely come back on next week. We'll be here. Stay tuned to the Facebook, our Facebook, and you will see what our topic will be for next week. I want to thank Pastor Rhonda, Pastor Phyllis, Pastor Jermaine, Pastor Dove, Pastor David. I want to thank my staff for making this a successful show. We are going higher. We are going further than when we started. And again, I would like to tell you all that none of you are strangers. Please, at any time, if you have anything going on, if you want to come talk, just chill, relax, please come tune in with us, and we will see you again we will talk to you again on next week. Remember to go back and listen to the shows at www.1821speaklife.radio.com. Hope I'm not missing anything, but we will be back next week. I look forward to having a real talk with you, speaking life. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to come and just hang out with us. Again, be safe, and remember to always speak life.
You met me deep in my despair to show me you would never leave me there. You claim because I was made for so much more. I am your child, and I'm worth fighting for. Oh, heavy with the weight of my mistakes, you carried me and refused to let me sink under the pressure you meant for me to soar. I am your child, and I'm worth fighting for. Eyes haven't seen, ears haven't heard all you have planned for me. And nothing can separate me from your love when there's so much more still worth fighting for. Now I'm moving by faith and not by sight towards victory. By the power of your might, you're straightening out my path, closing every door. I am your child, and I'm worth fighting for. I haven't seen, no,
ears haven't heard, oh, all you have said for me.
And nothing, no, nothing, separate me
from
when there's so much more. Calling on my life is worth fighting for, and I'll keep my mind stayed on you, Jesus, because the peace it brings is worth fighting for. And I'll be faithful to my wife and children, because my family is worth fighting for.